And now it's time for this week's early music show, presented by Lucy Skeeping.
Un jour que ma rebelle s'enfuit en devant moi, je lui disais cruel, Susu, arrête-toi. Ah, je te vois, je te tiens, c'est fait de toi. Ah, je te vois, je te tiens, je te vois, je te tiens, c'est fait de toi. Et que dis-tu, farouche, d'où te vient ce dédain? Ne ferme pas la bouche, sur réponds-moi soudain. Ah, je te vois, je te tiens, je te vois, je te tiens, c'est fait de toi. Ah, je te vois, je te tiens, je te vois, je te tiens, c'est fait de toi. Que certains de feintise, dis-moi donc mon amour. Vois-tu pas ma franchise augmenter jour en jour? Ah, je te vois, je te tiens, je te vois, je te tiens, c'est fait de toi. Ah, je te vois, je te tiens, je te vois, je te tiens, c'est fait de toi. Laisse-moi prendre quelques contentements. Je te ferai apprendre que je suis vraiment. Ah, je te vois, je te tiens, je te vois, je te tiens, c'est fait de toi. Ah, je te vois, je te tiens, je te vois, je te tiens, c'est fait de toi.
Today we're looking at the work of one of the most accomplished and influential figures in the early music world, the tenor Nigel Rogers, who yesterday celebrated his 80th birthday. And Nigel, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, we send you our very best wishes. We've just heard Nigel there with lutenist Anthony Bales in a chanson by the 16th century French composer Gabriel Bataille, Un jour que ma rebelle, a track from one of more than 70 CDs Nigel made throughout his long and distinguished career. But he was more than just a performer. One of his most important legacies was his expertise in that much argued about subject of early vocal decoration, the phrasing and ornamentation that's part and parcel of performing music by composers like Monteverdi. And we'll be hearing some examples of that throughout the programme. Nigel performed in some of the world's major concert halls. He was also to take up the conductor's baton himself from time to time. And, of course, he found time to pass on his knowledge and experience to the next generation through his various masterclasses and workshops. One musician who knows Nigel's work particularly well is the viola da gamba player Charles Medlem, who's kindly agreed to join me here in the studio. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you.
Now, you collaborated with Nigel many times over the years on the concert platform. I suppose, of course, that's a very good way to get to know someone, not only professionally, but personally as well.
Indeed so, yes. Nigel was always great fun to be with. He was a brilliant raconteur. In fact, he was rather like one of those actors that you see on chat shows. You could turn him on and he would just recount his anecdotes with great humour and great fluency.
What was it, though, that really made him stand out from the crowd as a musician?
Well, he had tremendous authority about the languages which he sung in. He had studied in Germany, in Hamburg, where he obviously learnt to sing German. He then went to Milan, I think it was, certainly somewhere in Italy, where he learnt how to sing Italian. And I don't know where his French came from, but his French was absolutely impeccable. And it was this authority about knowing exactly how to pronounce every single word in the three languages that he most needed. I've forgotten English, of course. His pronunciation in English was also impeccable. And he was one of the first singers, I think, who took this aspect of singing very, very seriously in the early music world. The leader singers obviously have to sort that out at some stage. But I think in the early music world, he was looked at as the person to turn to. If you wanted to know whether you were dealing with an umlaut or a diuresis or an enjambement or an elision, he would know all those things instantly. And in addition to all that, he had this fantastic natural feel for telling a story, which is exactly what you need for his absolute forte, which is and was Italian monody.
And we're going to hear part of Monteverdi's Orfeo. This is a role that Nigel was particularly associated with. Here he is in one of the key arias of the opera, the point when Orpheus attempts to persuade Charon to allow him into Hades to rescue Eurydice. This is Possente Spirito, Mighty Spirit.
Thank you.
The aria Possente Spirito from Monteverdi's Orfeo, performed by the tenor Nigel Rogers, whose career we're celebrating today to mark his 80th birthday, which was yesterday. And Charles Medlem, you directed London Baroque on that recording, didn't you?
Well, in fact, nobody directed. What happened was that Nigel had this wonderful collection of singers. He just founded the ensemble Chiaroscuro. London Baroque, in which I played, we had the string players. And also local, by which I mean to northwest Hampshire, where we all lived, was Teresa Caudle, who had a cornet and sackbut ensemble. We just had the idea we would put all this together and we'd do Orfeo, which was, of course, the role written for him.
How would you characterise the voice itself?
Nigel had a very grainy voice, a very focused voice, In fact, sometimes when I heard him warming up, he would warm up all the way up to a top C, and I'm sure he could have sung Rodolfo in La Bohème, if that's the way his career had gone. But his voice was especially adapted to the sort of repertoire that he did better than anyone else, which was Italian monody. And the fact that he had such focus and there wasn't too much kind of pinkness around the edge meant that he could deliver a text absolutely perfectly. And when he did Italian monody, he was simply unbeatable. He would always know the story, and he would draw on his expertise as a raconteur and just tell the story in music.
Well, our next piece shows him in a rather different guise, that is, within an ensemble of singers. It's part of Musikalische Exequien, which Schütz composed in 1635 for the funeral of Prince Heinrich von Reuss. Now, this is Nigel with his group Chiaroscuro. Tell me something about that.
Well, Nigel always wanted to have a vocal ensemble, and because he didn't find one he really wanted to sing in, he founded his own madrigal group. He called it Chiaroscuro, of course, after the school of early 17th century painters, Caravaggio and others. And his idea was to be quite unlike those perfectly formed, beautifully mellifluous Oxbridge ensembles, which seem to come out in large numbers. He thought, rather than going for a wonderful blend between the singers, he would get a team of soloists together who would, rather than blend, they would compete with each other. And I think this idea came from looking at the courts in Mantua and the singers in Venice, and knowing that the singers who sang the madrigals were, in fact, front-rank soloists. So he was really looking for Pavarotti's and René Fleming's who would sing like soloists. And that's how Chiaroscuro stood out from other vocal ensembles of the time.
Thank you.
The Song of Simeon by Heinrich Schütz, the tenor Nigel Rogers with his group Chiaroscuro, and the Basel Boys Choir with Schola Cantorum Basiliensis, directed by Hans-Martin Linder. Now, Charles Medlem, I've certainly associated Nigel most of all with Baroque music, but he actually did have broad tastes, didn't he? In fact, he went right back to the medieval period.
Yes, I think his experiences in medieval music predate our work with him. He sang for something called the Studio für frühe Musik, which I think already started in the late 60s. And this was one of the first ensembles to really take medieval music seriously. And again, I think what Nigel brought to this was his love of language. I'm sure he was quite able to master Romance and early High German or whatever's necessary for that sort of music. And he certainly took it as seriously as he would have taken a Lieder recital with some Forêt or Schubert in it. And I think that's what he brought to it.
We're going to hear what's arguably still one of music's most mysterious of works. It's the play of Robin and Marian. We know Robin and Marian dates from 1280. It was an entertainment for the Neapolitan court, a little extended pastorelle. It starts with Marian singing to herself of her sweetheart, Robin. Then a knight enters. He attempts to win her favour, but she rejects him. Then all hell breaks loose as Robin comes back and there's a big fight with his friends and the knight, and there's a lost falcon in the middle of all that. Finally, after the violence and the tussle, the lovers escape and the play ends with a feast and a celebration of true love.
Bergère, Dieu vous donne bon jour. Dieu vous garde, sire. Douche puchelle, or me conte, pourquoi c'est canchon canté si volontiers et si souvent? Sire, foi che voi me devi, che le peste è che servo mai? C'è son facon, or dite d'usce bergerette, amerie voi un chevalier? Chi n'ameroi che Ruben, il vieno suè e o matin? Bergere, devene me drue, e faite ciò che je vous prie. Sire, trai un su de moi, ci estre poi ne vous affie, a poi vous che vane me fie, comment vous appelle on?
Aubert.
Non, bergere, non par me foi. Cui derie ampirie de moi, chi su loin gete me proiere, chevalier sui e vous bergere.
Già, pur ciò ne vous amerai. Bergeronne, te svi mai giai, ammi belle, coi te
Laura, Laura, va. Je vais à toi, Laura, 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 va. Si rongio et au Laura, Laura, va. Si rongio et au Laura, Laura, va.
Robin, Morotte, d'où viens-tu? Si fils au camp des abrevis. Robin, tu ne sais d'où j'en ai. Et si ne le tienne mi un mal, et ci fu un onna che val, che a voi cauci un moufle, et par toi aussi qu'un escoufle sur sen poing, et trop me pria da me, mai poi y conquista, car je ne te ferai nul tort. Marotte, tu m'aroie morte, mai se je fusse tant venu, ne jou ne gautier le testu. Robin, fai nou un poe de feste. Veux-tu des bras ou de les teste? Je te dis que je sais tout faire. Ne la tu point noi retraire?
Oh, il parla mamma mère, regarde comme il me sied. Avone arriere belle, avone arriere. Ma parla mamma mere, Gian Van Rahimo miena c'è. I fai tante a cielo, belle, i fai tante a cielo.
Roba parla vetta perca, nu fai le tue di bra.
Oh, il parla mamma mere, tutto si compi vorrà. E c'è le maniere, belle, e c'è le maniere.
Roba parla vetta perca, se ti fai le tue ri.
Oh, il parla mamma mere, rai la muovi a parlare. Tu vane derriere, belle, tu vane derriere.
Roba parla vetta pera, se ti balli la serio.
Oh, il parla mamma mera, mai già troma de cavio. Tu vane derriere, belle, tu vane derriere.
Ova, Gautier, este vola? Ouvremo e tost lui, bio, cousin.
Bien, soia tu venu, Robin. Qu'as-tu qui est si essoufflé?
Que j'aille, las, je suis si lassé, que je n'ai plus ma laine à voir.
S'il vient, il le compéra.
Tu ne sais, Marotte te mande, et ça verra une feste trop grande.
Et qui y sera?
Jo et tu, et ça verra un boudon le testu, boudon et huart et Marotte.
Dite, bergère, n'est-ce vos celles que j'ai vues i matin?
pour Dieu, sire, allez-vous que même, si ferait au grand courtoisie.
Voire même, suis-je bien qu'aille quand j'aimais les miennes, si nos tiennes.
Si en allez, si ferait bien, aussi oi, le t'y venir j'aime.
Plus noise, tiens que t'attend.
Sainte Marie, j'ai Robin, je croyais qu'il soit entrepris, je croyais que pour moi il l'ait battu. Robin, donc, ami, que fais-tu?
Certes, donc, ami, il m'a mort.
Par qui, sire, vous avez tort, qui ainsi l'avait d'esquiré?
Et comment a-il attiré men faucon et svardé bergère?
Il m'en sait mille les manières, pour Dieu, sire, on les pardonne.
Volontiers, c'est avec moi venu.
Je ne ferai.
Si ferez-vous.
Certes, donc, me ferez-vous, Roche. Robin, que ne me rescues-tu?
Ah, los, aurais-je tout perdu? À tard, ils viendront mes cousins. Je perds ma route, saillant à tenne, et d'esquirer côte sur côte.
Ire sveglie tue Robin, caronen mein emarot, caronen mein emarot.
C'hai ancora un tel pasté, chi ne mie della ste, che mu mangeron marot, e cavette moglie vo, chi me ratte mie marot, ci vanrai parle a vo.
Marotte, veux-tu plus de mi?
Oui, un homme Dieu.
Et je te dis.
Que tu aies un tel capon qui a grossi crasse crepon, et nous mangerons marotte.
Avec telle compagnie, doit en bien j'aille mener.
Play of Robin and Marian. Nigel Rogers was Robin with Willard Cobb and Andrea von Ramm. Ancient anonymous music like that, Charles, requires quite a lot of input from the performers because so much is sort of inferred, not necessarily written down. Was Nigel the sort of performer who was generally happy to put in his oar in rehearsals and sort of get stuck into interpretation, even if he wasn't necessarily the director?
I think Nigel led by example. I think he thought, and it certainly worked when he worked with London Baroque, that if he just sang how he sang, it was so convincing and it was delivered with such charisma that you really couldn't do anything else around him. So that if he came up with a style for, say, a French cantata, you'd be just so drawn into how he did it that that was the way he led. And that was really all we needed. In fact, my recollection of rehearsing with him is that on the day of a concert, you'd have a rehearsal with him, and he'd sing and he'd sing and he'd sing without any thought of the fact that he was actually going to have to perform the pieces that evening. In fact, it was in many cases as much as we could do to stop him singing, to leave something in reserve for later. But he was extraordinary. He could sing all day, which says something about his technique.
We're going to hear two tracks now. In the second, Nigel duets with the tenor Ian Partridge in the madrigal Ninfa che scalza il piede. It's about a nymph who goes barefoot as she gaily sings and dances. But first of all, we're going to hear Nigel Rogers in the solo cantata Exulta Filia, the text from the Christmas Day Mass.
Exulta filia, exulta filia, Sion, exulta, exulta. Lauda, 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 lauda filia, Jerusalem, lauda, lauda, exulta, lauda, lauda, exulta filia, Sion.
Omnes gentes plaudite manibus, plaudite manibus. Jubilate, 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 jubilate Deo. Jubilate, jubilate Deo. Jubilate.
Thank you.
fede sciolta e crime, te ne vai, di Dolimando, queste piagge, te ne vai di Dolimando, per queste piagge, lieta, 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 cantando, cantando e ballando, e ballando, e ballando. Lieta, lieta, cantando, cantando e ballando, cantando e ballando, cantando e ballando. Non scuoti all'erbe le fresche brine, non scuoti all'erbe le fresche brine, le fresche brine.
Nigel Rogers in two works by Monteverdi, the madrigal Ninfa che scalza il piede, performed with Ian Partridge, and before that, the miniature solo cantata Exulta Filia. Both were directed by Jürgen Jürgens. The vocal line in the cantata is extremely busy and obviously technically demanding. In times like that, is it a problem to keep singer and accompaniment together, particularly when the singer is kind of, you know, really off on an imaginative journey?
Nigel had two things which were completely profoundly rooted in him. One was rhythm. He never strayed from when a rhythm attacked us was there. You could just keep playing. Of course, you accompanied him, but you knew that even when he did one of his most extravagant gorgie, the Italian throat ornaments, at which he was an absolute master, that he would arrive on time so you could play the first beat of the next bar and be with him. And the other thing that was profoundly rooted in him was pitch. Once you arrived at a rehearsal and you'd started to rehearse, nobody ever had to give him a note. He just knew. And I have to say, we worked at three different pitches. We worked at low pitch, French pitch. We worked at the normal Baroque pitch, 4/15. But we also, particularly when we did Monteverdi, we worked at a pitch a semitone higher than modern. So, but whatever pitch was in the room, from the moment the rehearsal started, Nigel would never need a note. He just knew exactly where that scale was for that day.
Well, we're moving now into quite a different sort of musical language, if you like. Literally, it's a song by the 17th century English composer Matthew Locke. It's a really touching love song and it paints a gentle pastoral picture. This is Nigel Rogers singing with Patrizia Queller in a dialogue between Thyrsis and Dorinda by Matthew Locke. A dialogue between Thyrsis and Dorinda, written by Matthew Locke in 1675. That was Patrizia Quella, the soprano, with Nigel Rogers, tenor, whose 80th birthday I'm marking today with one of his colleagues, Charles Medlem. Charles, our next track takes us back to the days of David Munro, 1970, in fact. There must have been quite a sense of adventure at that time.
Yes, I think it's worth remembering that much of the music that David Munro dug out in the 60s and 70s, medieval music, was completely new. And even moving forward to the time that we worked with him, by we I mean London Baroque, in the early 80s, very many of the pieces that we did with him were, I think, probably the first time they'd ever been done since the 18th and 17th century. So that really was a wonderful discovery for us all.
Well, the text of this next solo song is certainly the antithesis of the lovers' duet we've just heard. It's by Francesco Landini, who was by far the most famous composer in Italy in the second half of the 14th century. It's called Cara Mia Donna. Dear lady, I now live contented, for with your approval I will suffer my great pain rather than attempt to find solace for the desire which is tormenting me.
Oh, yeah.
Cara mia donna, a typical courtly love song by Landini from the 14th century. Nigel Rogers in an early recording from 1970, singing with the Early Music Consort of London, directed by David Munro. Well, we're almost out of time. Thank you, Charles Medlin, for joining me for this joyful and interesting celebration of the work of the tenor Nigel Rogers to mark his 80th birthday, of course, which was yesterday.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, we can just squeeze one more shortish piece in, the Nigra Sum from Monteverdi's Vespers of 1610. Tell us about Nigel's relationship with this work.
I think it's the same as his relationship with Orfeo. I think he's just a prime performer of this work. And quite rightly, in the early 80s, no one could perform this work without him. And that's exactly as it should have been.
Formosa fine, formosa. Nigra sum. Sed formosa, formosa fine, Jerusalem.
Nigra Sum from Monteverdi's Vespers of 1610, performed by the tenor Nigel Rogers with the Vienna Concertus Musicus, conducted by Jürgen Jürgens. This week's early music show was presented by Lucy Skeeping, and she was joined by the viola da gamba player Charles Medlem. The programme was produced by Anthony Sellers.
In Tuesday's Live in Concert, feast your ears on chamber music. We're live from London's Wigmore Hall with two outstanding international string quartets. First, the Arcadia play Haydn's Joke Quartet, Opus 33, No. 2. Then the Mercore play Beethoven's Quartet in F, Opus 18, No. 1. After the interval, they come together to perform Mendelssohn's vibrant octet. Join me, Martin Handley, live in concert from the Wigmore Hall with the Arcadia and Mercore string quartets. Tuesday evening from 7:30 here on Radio 3 and in HD sound via the website.
This is BBC Radio 3. Now it's time for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast last week, live from York Minster. The canticles, known as Caesar's Service, were composed in the early 17th century by John Amner for the choir of Ely Cathedral and its dean, Henry Caesar, who was very supportive of the music. The anthem is Mendelssohn's celebrated setting of verses from Psalm 55, Hear My Prayer, which was first performed in its English version in 1845. The service opens now with another Hear My Prayer, a verse from Psalm 102, set by Henry Purcell.
Welcome to Choral Evensong at York Minster, a place of Christian pilgrimage and worship for almost 1,400 years. We welcome all who have gathered this afternoon, and especially students and staff from Hull Collegiate School visiting the Minster today. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, long-suffering and of great goodness.
O Lord, open thy lips,
and the mouth shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord,
the choir sings the psalms appointed for the 18th evening of the month 93 and 94.